So turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to be thinking of the Christmas story from John's perspective this morning. So in John chapter 1, I want us to stand, and you guys can just read along with me as I read. But I just want us to stand as we honor God's word this Christmas season and to read verses 1 to 18 together. I'm using the NIV version. You can follow us along on your phone or your Bible app, or there's a Bible there in your pew there or your row. Verse 1 of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. I love that. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, representing Jesus, so that through Jesus, through Him, all men might believe. He Himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. In verse 10, He was in the world. That's Christmas. And though the world was made through Him, think about this, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, the Jewish people, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me will or has surpassed me because He was before me.' From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
No one, well, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, think about that, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, talking about Jesus, has made Him known. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Help us understand the full Christmas story today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. We have a great little ending today. We have two wonderful kids getting baptized today as well. And so we're going to celebrate that as our church family as well. So there's 5 days till Christmas, and so I have 5 points that I want to make in regards to this passage. Number one, we looked at Luke a couple weeks ago. We looked at Matthew last week. Now we're looking at John. So we're looking to remember the whole Christmas story because John is the last gospel to be written. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke were already written at this time. So John was like, I need to give a different perspective on this Christmas story. Because Jesus was born, you know, the Magi came and the shepherds came and all those things happened. But John doesn't record any of that. He gives a beginning perspective and an ending perspective. And kind of in the middle in a little bit. So he gives more of a heavenly viewpoint of who Jesus is and why He came and how we can receive Him as well. So point number one, John says God has a face. God has a face. So remember in verse 18, it says, no one has seen God at any time. And so through the whole Old Testament, there is pictures of people getting a vision of heavenly or the throne of God or a picture of what they're trying to see and grasp, but no one has ever seen God face to face and lived, Isaiah says. So God has not been seen. He's been kind of like the shadow. We kind of see the evidence of His work, but like, where is His image? We want to see God. We want to see His face. We want to see His being. And so John simply tells us God has a face. The Word became flesh. God is now visible. Colossians 1:15, I love this verse. It says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So if God were to have a driver's license, whose picture would be on the thing? Jesus, right? And so we have a face of Jesus, a picture of Jesus now being made visible. God has made himself visible. You ever had somebody ask, I just wish I could just see God. I wish he would just make himself appear so I could see him. Then I would believe in him. You ever had somebody tell you that? John says, look no further than Jesus. If you want to see the evidence of the historical record of Jesus, that he came, he died, he lived, he was buried, he rose again, the evidence is there, right? And John is declaring that Jesus was with God in the beginning. God's exact representation, Hebrews 1:3, was expressed in Jesus. So Jesus, now who's at the Father's side, who's come into the world, represents heaven, right? And so he's God's one and only Son, it says that several times. And so God didn't have many sons. He had his one and only Son. So he sent his best to the world to represent the heart of God and the mind of God. That's what the Logos means. The Word became flesh. The eternal Word took on visible representation to come here and to say, hey, we get to see God face to face. So Mary and Joseph were the first to see the face of God wrapped up in a little kid. So heaven became this little gift to the world that went through the birthing canal, that went through the whole process to know what we go through in this life, as we're going to see in a little bit. But the argument that says God is not fully known or can be known is completely debunked. John says, no, Jesus came to make him fully known. Jesus says oftentimes, what I'm telling you is what the Father's already told me to tell you. Read the rest of the Gospel of John. I'm here to just tell you what he's saying, right? I'm here to represent the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like. And so he tells stories and parables of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so Jesus has a face, and it's the face of God, wrapped in human flesh. He was fully God and fully man. Now notice in Italy, northern Italy, there is this Shroud of Turin, right? Maybe you've ever heard of the Shroud of Turin. And so they have this picture of this image of what's called to be the replica or the image of possibly Jesus of Nazareth is what they're saying. And so they keep this under lock and key. They only allow pictures of it, but it's to represent what? The face of Jesus. So they have that under record and proof, validation, that possibly might be Jesus of this headcloth when he was buried, the image that came through. So I find that interesting that God records or pictures of his face. Secondly, Jesus had a face-to-face with God. Not only does God have a face in Jesus, Jesus also had a face-to-face with God. And so John is simply saying he was with God in the beginning. He's at the Father's side. So if you're at the Father's side, that means you have close relationship with God, right? You have that face-to-face with God of a relationship. And so the reason why we get married is so we can have a face-to-face relationship, right? And the closer we get, the more we enjoy. Or we should, right? Sometimes we have heated arguments and we're face-to-face, right? We're all up in our face or up in their face and sometimes. But Jesus was face-to-face with God. Now, John says, you know, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so, if you read Exodus, it says Moses was the only person who had a face-to-face friendship with God. Now, think about that. Jesus is now the greater Moses, because he came from heaven. But Moses had a picture or an illustration of what we can now have because we're in Christ. We too can have a face-to-face with God, as we're going to see in just a little bit. But the Word was God. The Word was with God. So it was pointing to Jesus' name, his position, his title, and his relationship. Wow. The one who had FaceTime with God. Think about that. We have an app where it's like, I don't want to have a conversation over the phone, right? I want to do a face-to-face. So now they created an app called FaceTime. You can FaceTime each other. You can get face-to-face with each other and talk. The people all over the world, if you have that connection. It's amazing. But God is simply saying, the one who's had this close relationship, the one who bears my face in physical aspect, has now come into the world. He's making that very clear. Then thirdly, Jesus faced what we face. Don't you love the fact that in every point of his life, Jesus went what we go through? He can sympathize with us, Hebrews 4:15 says. He can sympathize with everything we go through. Jesus lost his dad, probably lost his grandparents. Jesus went through all different kinds of rejection, betrayal, hurt, slander, being made fun of, being teased, you know, being taken advantage of, and all these things. He went through all of those things in life, right? So I mentioned a couple weeks ago, my son works at a fast food chain here in the county, and they're known for their special sauce, right? And so somebody was messing with him, an older guy that's been working there was messing with him. So my son is from the Ukraine, so he doesn't know everything about everything. And so he didn't know the old commercials, talking about special sauce, lettuce, cheese, all that kind of stuff. And so this guy was messing with Lucas, and he goes, "Hey, I need you to go into the refrigerator and get the plain sauce." So Lucas is like, okay. He's in there for 15 minutes. Comes out and he says, "There's no plain sauce in there." And the guy is just rolling. I mean, he's just like laughing. He's just like, so it's a big joke in our house. It's like, "Buddy, you should have never told me that. That is hilarious. That guy was messing with me." He goes, "I didn't know it." So anyway. But Jesus went through family struggles. He went through his brothers and sisters didn't even realize how special of a kid he was. They just saw him as their older brother. And could you imagine Jesus probably messing with them around December and say, "Hey, you know, years from now, people are all over the world are going to celebrate me at Christmas." Could you imagine Jesus doing that, messing with them? They're like, "Yeah, whatever, Jesus, that's not going to happen." Little did they know, their older brother created the worldwide holiday, right, that we celebrate and we remember. But it was not until after his death and resurrection and they saw the miracles that he did that they realized our older brother is not just a brother. James called him Lord. He goes, "And I'm now his bondservant." This guy that we grew up with is the God of heaven and the God of everything that we see in the created. Could you imagine that moment for James, the awareness? It's like, oh my goodness, we lived with him, right? And when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus in all his glory at the Father's side, and we're going to go, they're going to have that same moment. But he faced what we faced. I love that fact. There was a missionary who was Caucasian and took his family over to Africa to start a medical clinic and to start a chapel. He was a Christian doctor, and so he wanted to do both aspects of spiritual and physical health. And so for years, he would just do medical treatments, and every Sunday, they would start a service, and nobody would come from these tribes and the people they're trying to reach. And so for 10 years, they didn't see anybody at the chapel. They had had a son in the midst of all of this while the years that they were there, and they saw the tribe got to see him grow up and all these things. And when he was 10 years old, he lost his son to illness. He couldn't bring him or treat him back to life, and got some bacteria and just couldn't fix him, and he saw him pass. And at the funeral of his son, he cried and he wept over his son. And one of the village people came and watched him cry. And they asked, "Why are you doing?" He goes back to his tribe and he says, "He's like one of us. He cries too." And then from that Sunday on, the whole village started to come to the chapel. All because this guy who came to help was like one of them too. So sometimes when we think about Christmas, we got to realize this Jesus who came was like going through everything that we go through. He can identify pain and hurt, frustration. Jesus got angry, he got hungry, he got thirsty, he cried at Lazarus' funeral. It says he wept bitterly. Every human emotion, every human ailment, even temptation. He went through every kind of temptation, even from the devil, and yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15 says. Why? So he could help us through life. Don't you love that about Jesus? This didn't just happen 2,000 years ago, right? Yes, it did happen, but he's still alive and he's still helping us. Amen? That's the spirit of Christmas. The Holy Spirit now helping us through life. But he faced what we face in every aspect. Jesus didn't just come to start a holiday, right? He came so that we can have a face-to-face with God. Think about that just for a moment. Remember Adam and Eve? It says they walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a perfect relationship with God before the fall. Then sin entered into the world, right, and it changed everything. They went and hid from God, put on fig leaves. God came to them and restored them. And yet the relationship with man, with God, is now distorted. Moses was a picture of what we can have with God, that face-to-face friendship with God. Jesus comes on the scene and restores that relationship. He says, "I came from the Father, so you can go to the Father's house," in John 14, right? So he's always in relationship with the Father. He's like, when we pray, pray our Father who art in heaven. It's my Father and your Father too. Once you've come to know Jesus Christ, you have a heavenly Father, amen, that we can pray to, and he listens, he cares for us. So think about this. The triune God is now welcoming us into their relationship. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is like, "Hey, welcome in, Andy. Welcome in, Brad. You're part of the family." Now think about that just for a moment. Let that settle in just for a moment. That should shock every one of us. That should humble every one of us. To the nth degree that God himself would allow us into his presence for all eternity. Because he came into the world and the world did not recognize him. He came into his own and they didn't even receive him. And he created the world. The light came into the world and we wanted to snuff the light out. And yet he says, "I've come with truth and grace. I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world." Don't you love that about Jesus? He brought grace and truth to the situation. And now he's simply saying, "You can have this relationship with my Father, just like I have, for all eternity." Isaiah 1:18 Isaiah, the prophet, is describing how awful the nation of Israel was in that time frame before Hezekiah's day. And the whole nation was just sinful. It's like, man, people were just giving up hope. And God says this in verse 18 of Isaiah 1. He says, "Come, now let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." In the midst of an awful situation, God brings hope and he says, "Come now, let's have a face-to-face with each other. Let's have a conversation about how I can forgive you of your sin, how I can change the whole nation around just by you. Let's have a conversation about, let's reason together." And what our nation needs more than ever is a relationship with God. It needs to come under the submission point of God Himself, right? If He created all things and He gives government as a part of the responsibility of caring for each other and watching over for each other, then we need to submit everything to Him. We need to remember why we're here. Sorry for that little side note. I just get frustrated sometimes. But God says, let's reason together. Let's have a face-to-face. And when you pray, I want you to think differently about how you pray as a result of having a relationship with Jesus. You're not just praying. You're not just having a conversation. You're not just presenting your request to God. No, you're having a face-to-face with God. Every time you pray. Isn't that an amazing fact? So the author of Hebrews says, when you come, come with confidence. Come with faith. Come with thanksgiving. Come before His face. And have that friendship with God. And here's your biggest hurdle. Here's my biggest hurdle. And that is, I just can't get past that God would have that with me. Right? That's our biggest hurdle. I know what it says, but I just can't believe it. I just don't feel that when I pray. Well, John is simply saying you need to believe that too. You need to believe it. He sent Him for us not just to die on the cross, not just to be raised from the dead. He did all of those things. But His end goal was so that you could be there and have a face-to-face with Him. And John 1:12 says, "Whoever receives or welcomes Him by faith, who believes in His name, they have the right to become children of God." Born of God. God has the right to declare to people who trust in Jesus, they are my children forever. We are not supposed to argue with God's truth. But we do. Why? Because we don't believe it's true. And God says, you need to start trusting what I say. Jesus' supernatural birth, it says, the angel says, will come about by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary. He will conceive in you, Jesus, right? And you will give birth to a son. And so the moment we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is birthing Jesus in our life. That's what it means to be born again. In John chapter 3. Those who are born of flesh are of the flesh, but those born of the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen? Then lastly, so we see John goes, in the beginning, when he came, there was a representative called John the Baptist who foretold of Jesus' ministry, and then now we have us in our time, and then it goes even further to the end. So in Revelation 22:4, it says these words. I love these words. Down the middle of the great street of heaven. Oh, what was that last verse? Was that two? Let's just start right there. Down the middle of this great street of the city, talking about heaven, each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Notice verse 4. What does it say? It says, they will see his face. Are you getting the whole Christmas story? Is it coming together? You have an aha moment? You've seen it from beginning to end? First Corinthians 13:12. Paul says, now we see dimly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Then face to face. Genesis 32:30. Jacob, who God turned his name into Israel. In Genesis 32, he wrestled with God. Remember the story? He wrestled with God and God, the angel broke his hip. And he named that moment a special name. Because he asked the angel, or this moment, this being, he goes, what is your name? And he didn't tell him. But Jacob's called it Peniel, which means, I have seen the face of God, and yet he let me live. We're going to have that Peniel moment, not on the earth, but on heaven, when we see the face of God. In Jesus Christ. And there he's going to show us his handprints of his nails, his side. He still bears them. To remind us for all eternity of the sacrifice and love and grace that he has shown the world. Amen? He's shown the world. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Aren't you glad the light has shined into our hearts and has changed us forever? And now we have the hope of seeing Jesus in his face, being welcomed into his family forever. You know, when my grandma passed, my uncle shared the story. I wasn't there that morning. But he said before she passed, she reached up towards heaven like this. And my uncle was like, she was seeing something different than what I was seeing. And she folded her arms like this. She breathed her last breath, and she was gone. In Luke 16, it says the angels come, and they escort us home. Could you imagine seeing heaven's escorts coming to get you? One day what we see down here, we will no longer see. We will see heaven in all its glory. We'll see Christmas future and all that he has in store for us. Is your heart at rest knowing Jesus and knowing what is to come? Are you ready for that day? You ready to meet the Lord? How do you want to be escorted towards Christmas? Father, we thank you today for the truth of your word, from this Apostle John. Lord, who helped us understand who Jesus really was. He wasn't just here at his birth. No, he was from the beginning. He's the one who made us and everything that we see. He's our creator. But he's also our Christ. He's our Messiah. He's our Lord who came for us. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help every person who's in this room, every person online, Lord, that they would put their trust in Jesus Christ right now, that they would be part of your family, Lord, that they would understand what we're saying and just simply say, yes, Lord, today I trust in your Son. Help me to know you better. Help me to realize this face-to-face relationship that you came for. Help me better appreciate what I have because of Jesus. Thank you that he can help me through everything that we go through. He's still here with us by his Spirit. So, Father, we just want to tell you thank you for sending your Son, your one and only Son, just for us. Help us, Lord, be like John the Baptist. Bear witness to the light that has come into the world so that others, people, might believe in Jesus. For that's our role until we go home. So, Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I pray for everyone in this room that we would experience a special Christmas, not a plain Christmas, but a special Christmas this year, because it's all about you and receiving that eternal gift in you. I just want to tell you, we love you so much, Lord, for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.